fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app.
Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money on your next outdoor project at Menards. Menards has the best in-stock selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber. Our huge inventory of decking, fencing, lumber, and timbers are all easy to load in our drive-thru lumber yard. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our fence and deck design programs in-store or online at Menards.com. Don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Hello, Legion of Audience. This is James. And before we get started today, I wanted to take a second and let you all know about the brand new Who Would Win Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get behind the scenes access like you've never seen before, go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Who Would Win patrons will have access to outtake videos, early info on battles, and even get a vote on characters that we'll use in upcoming episodes. So if you'd like to support me and the show, head to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, and for as little as $5 a month, you can define yourself as more than just a fan. You'll be an official member of the Legion. Hope to see you there.
A duel on a stage in the sky. On one side sits a red hat. On the other, a pair of red shoes. Both heroes turn around and look out at the teeming masses of fans who want to see their champion prevail. Both stare into each other's eyes, lock gazes, and they know they've done this once before, but that moment lives in the past. A stoplight flies in on a fishing rod, and the lights go red, yellow, and green, and this battle is underway. It's plumber versus runner. It's Jumpman versus Blue Blur. It's Mario versus Sonic, round two. Today on Who Would Win?
And welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsey, and as always, I'm joined by the one and only Ray Stakanis. Legion of Audience, Showdown September continues with an extremely rare offering from the Who Would Win show. That's right, it's time for a rematch. In one corner, you have Mario, Nintendo's heroic plumber from Brooklyn, who uses his unwavering determination to rescue Princess Peach and defeat the villainous Bowser. And in the other corner, you have Sonic, Sega's super-fast blue hedgehog, who uses his speed and attitude to protect the world from the evil genius of Dr. Eggman. As usual, I did the patented Who Would Win Google test just to see how many times this matchup has been discussed. And not only has this matchup been discussed a bajillion times, clearly, but now the Who Would Win podcast actually comes up on this Google search as we previously debated this exact battle.
About that?
And even though Mario got the win previously, I'll just say it. The result was insanely controversial with our fan base. Yeah, that was a thing, which is why it's time for a rematch. Ray, what are your thoughts on today's matchup?
This is one of the, no, this might be the most listened to episode in Who Would Win show history. And we were looking at maybe like what characters need a redemption for Showdown September. We have a little bit of a theme going on this year, mainly because all of the biggest battles in history, we've done them over the course of the last 5+ years. So it goes. But look, Sonic versus Mario, this is one of the most talked about battles of all time. Obviously, people care deeply about it, and there was a lot of controversy. A lot of people felt that Sonic's points weren't being taken as seriously by that judge. They felt that, you know, look, it was me. I didn't think I was being listened to appropriately by the judge. I didn't think there was any way I was going to lose that battle. And that's fine. We're here to set the record straight. That's what redemption matches, that's what rematches are all about. You know, in the boardroom, we even said, would you like to switch sides for this one? And I'm like, why? I'm not the one who screwed up last time. So let's make it happen. Part two, Sonic versus Mario.
You know, it's funny. I looked through our ledger for the production team for the Who Would Win show to see, like, okay, we keep track of screw-ups and who's responsible for screw-ups. And oddly enough, I found no instances of Ray ever being responsible for any of the thousands of screw-ups that the Who Would Win show has perpetrated over the years. Oddly enough, kind of a side note, Ray Cicada's great job on looking after the ledger for screw-ups for the show.
No, I've been doing a really good job with that. Yeah. Look, all I'm trying to say is this is the time of year when blue characters tend to win. Sonic the Hedgehog, your Detroit Lions in week one in overtime. Wins are piling up on top of wins, and let's make September special.
Okay, look, Ray, I've got some reservations for this matchup because it's a redemption match. It's a rematch, which is insanely rare for the Who Would Win show. And you got to do this right. There's actually more pressure now for this episode than for the first time we did it. So, look, when you have a battle of this magnitude, you kind of need a judge who can see things from two perspectives. I think you can agree with that. We need a judge who embodies both the dark and light side of the Who Would Win show. Not to get too dramatic, but there I go. Someone who can see through my patented intoxicating mind fog, and someone who never gets intimidated by Ray's shouting and subsequent crying when he loses. So I think we have that judge, and I couldn't be more excited. I'm going crazy with this. Making another appearance on the Who Would Win show. Ray, I'm so fanboying right now. It's Doom Guy, Conan, Torque from Call of Duty, and freaking Magneto from X-Men 97. Can you believe it? It's the one, it's the only, it's Matthew Watterson. Matthew, welcome back to Who Would Win.
Thank you, gentlemen. I am thrilled to be back. I'm looking forward to this epic battle. I know both of these characters intimately. I mean, not in that way, but I know them both well, and I've known them since I was a child, and so I am looking forward to learning new things and having new arguments set forth before me as to which one is superior.
Listen, Matthew, you're on the show. You've been, you know, you've got this great background. Before we get into all, you know, the magnitude of today's episode, tell Legion of Audience, our fan base, what you've been up to.
Not much. Was, doing this and that. A lot of video games, which, of course, we always get sent to those NDA things that we can't talk about. But, yeah, the most recent thing was getting to do Magneto, which has been fun. And we know the first season came out, and we finished the first season. We found out before we released the first season, we were greenlit for the second season. We found out right after the first season, like, I think episode 2 came out, that Disney and Marvel were already committing to a third season. So we know we're going to get to do three seasons. I would keep doing it until in my perfect world, I do this role until I die, and then they have to recast me, and they'll find someone to take over from me and do amazing. I don't think they'll let us go that long because I'll probably get too crotchety and temperamental by the end of it. But I would, I'm hoping that we get to do this one for a long time.
You know, I'm gonna say you're wrong. I do think you're gonna do this until, you know, forever, until you're, you know, 95 to 101, whichever one, you know, you get to. But you know, there's something that you actually did not too long ago on top of Magneto from X-Men 97, which was amazing, by the way. You actually did a podcast where you talked about how Magneto from X-Men 97 would actually do in a Who Would Win type of style matchup with Thanos, having
people
the Infinity Gauntlet with, right? We're in the MCU. I don't want to ruin this. What did you, how did you see that matchup going?
I mean, I was like, look, he controls magnetism. So, you know, I don't know what the metal is that Thanos made the glove out of. But, you know, it's a metal. And so I had the argument of, you know, if he can move planets, it's not impossible that he could just sort of whip the glove off or just crush Thanos' hand within the glove and, you know, yeah, make him cry. I was like, it's in my eyes, it was at least, it's at least worth a conversation that really the Avengers didn't need to bring all those people from multiple galaxies to try and back Cap up. They just need to get one old Holocaust survivor who is still unimaginably ripped.
I mean, I was about to throw a horrible joke. Oh, yeah, that's absolutely correct. Look, this is
but
why
yeah, people
I think
got
you're the
grumpy.
Perfect.
People go, there was immediately some people going, what? It's and they knew way more of the detail of like Thanos and the Infinity Stones than I did. And they said, well, it wouldn't work because this and this would happen and this would happen. And I just had to go, yeah, maybe. But
I'll tell you this much. When I read that and doing the research and kind of checking you out as well, here's the thing. I believe in the comic books, Magneto's had some success using his power over Thor's hammer, which is made out of Uru, I believe is the name of the metal, which means there is a good chance that he could be able to do something similar with that Infinity Gauntlet. And I don't think Magneto has actually had a direct encounter with Thanos in the regular Marvel comic books yet. I could be wrong. So I actually agree with your theory. I think Magneto would make short work of Thanos. Just putting that out there, I think that's a cool thing. All right, look, this is why we have the perfect judge for today's epic episode. You got Mario, you got Sonic, you got Magneto, amongst many other things, from X-Men 97, judging this battle, Matthew Watterson, of course. With all that being said, Ray, please do us the honors and announce today's matchup.
Representing Nintendo, the plumber who can clear your drain and save the princess, but can't get those darn rubber bands out of his beard, Mario. And that's one for like two people out there who loved it. And representing Sega, the hedgehog who runs faster than I do when faced with the front door of a Golden Corral buffet restaurant, Sonic the Hedgehog.
I think Captain Lou Albano would be smiling ear to ear with that reference. Just got to put that. I'm sorry.
James apparently was one of those two people. And I think Robert Clark Chan was the other.
We got reruns in Canada of the Mario show. I mean, just, or is it the Super Mario? Anyway, he was just picture perfect Mario. I'm a huge fan. All right. Well done, Ray. Before we go any further, let's go over the basics of a Who Would Win match. Now, each debater will make 3 points. Keep in mind that the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge or prep time allowed. And the debater has to stay within the confines of the character. And when it comes to determining the winner, it's the judge who has the final say and will determine which character lost based on death, incapacitation, or battlefield removal, with no outside interference being allowed. Remember, you can always check out all the rules on our website at www.whowouldwinshow.tv. And before we get started, don't forget to visit the official Who Would Win store. Visit sayword.co/collections. That's sayword.co/collections. And click on the Who Would Win merch section to get your hands on some great Who Would Win shirts, hats, hoodies, and our very own proprietary 3D printed Who Would Win versus stand. And now let's get to the tale of the tape for both of our combatants. Ray, please give us the details for Sonic.
Sonic the Hedgehog is a walking, talking blue hedgehog who can run at supersonic speeds and then some. He was created by Yuji Naka and Naoto Oshima and first appeared, oddly enough, as an air freshener in a video game called Rad Mobile back in 1990, followed up by his own game titled Sonic the Hedgehog in 1991. I would be remiss if I didn't also mention Sonic the Hedgehog has been most often voiced by Who Would Win show legend Roger Craig Smith. Wonder how he's doing. Sonic quickly became the face of Sega with his super speed and his sassy attitude. Now, his games offered players gameplay speed so much faster than their competitor, and really showed that Sega did what Nintendo don't. Sonic has appeared in a multitude of video games with differing levels of quality, often getting out of his own series to guest star in lots of other different series. Now, Sonic hates oppression, and he wants everyone to live freely. That's his whole deal. Now, while a drifter by nature, Sonic will always answer the bell when a hero is needed and save the innocent when he is called upon. Fun fact, now to create a character as iconic as Sonic the Hedgehog takes more than just a one-to-one parallel from another character, right? So there were three people who inspired the creators when making Sonic the Hedgehog. And I don't think if I was to ask you, could you name any of these three people, unless you know, that you would name one off the top of your head. Here we go. The first one, of course, Santa Claus, whose red and white color scheme matched the vibe that the creators wanted. And then so that's where they got the red boots from. For costume even further, they got inspired by, of course, Michael Jackson, who was just in the middle of coming off of his bad era. Michael was often seen wearing leather outfits with lots of straps on them. And so they put the strap on Sonic's boots to make them stand out even further. And my favorite personality Sonic was inspired by, of course, a former Arkansas governor, eventually president, Bill Clinton. They made Sonic sassy and fun, but always able to be serious and get the job done at the end of the day. There is more that I could say to that point, but I choose not to. And that is Sonic the Hedgehog.
Bill Clinton, really?
William Jefferson Clinton, at the time, just an Arkansas governor.
Very cool. Now, here are the details for Mario. Mario, whose full name is Mario Mario, first appeared in the super popular video game known as Donkey Kong back in 1981 and was created by video game designer Shigeru Miyamoto. Acting as Nintendo's mascot as well as being the popular protagonist of the series, Mario has appeared in over 200 video games since his creation. Depicted as a short, pudgy Italian plumber who resides in the Mushroom Kingdom, his adventures generally center upon rescuing Princess Peach from the Koopa villain Bowser. Whether it's stomping on his enemies' heads to destroy them or getting insane power-ups that would make any regular plumber jealous, I guess, Mario has been destroying his enemies and proudly saying, "It's a me, a Mario," for decades. I hope I did that, you know, justice.
That was brilliant. All right,
and here's, thank you. It's brilliant. All right, now here's an interesting fact about Mario. Did you know that when it comes to professional occupations, Mario has officially had 12 of them? It's true. Look, it's safe to say that Mario is easily one of the most talented people on Earth, as he's had over 12 occupations, although only 7 of those are officially recognized. He actually started off as a carpenter in the original Donkey Kong game before he assumed the role of a plumber. The officially recognized jobs are, in no particular order, carpenter, plumber, racer, martial artist, professional baseball player, professional soccer player, professional basketball player, and somehow doctor. Because if you're a plumber, you can be a doctor, oh, I
and
guess.
You, why not? You left out boxing referee, obviously, from the classic game Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
That was one of his prouder moments. And now you have the facts on both opponents. Matthew, do you have any questions before we get started?
No questions, per se. I have to admit, I am very impressed because Mario's work record actually kind of sounds like what happens if you ask a hyperactive six-year-old what he wants to be when he grows up. That's kind of, that list is kind of the answer that I think I would have given. It left out, like, you know, Ninja and Space Ghost. Apart from that, I think you kind of got the whole list. But yeah, and yeah, I would not have guessed any of the Sonic inspirations at all.
No. They're buried. They're buried deep in there.
Really deep in there. I was, honestly, the one that I kept expecting you to say with each next one was Batman. I was like, well, there's the blue, and there's like, okay, maybe. And so then you finish with Bill Clinton, and I was lost.
Yeah, somehow the Bill Clinton thing kind of makes sense now that I think about it, but not for reasons I want to say on the show. All right, listen, let's get this party started. Ray, please proceed with your first point.
Point number one for Sonic the Hedgehog, we're going to talk about some of his physicals, some of his powers, some of his moves. Because the one thing that I would point out about Sonic the Hedgehog is that often you can, like, you put a number on these things, right? Marvel has their 100-ton strength class, for example, and nobody ever rises above that, you know? Well, when they went to go kind of notate what Sonic's strength is, they just listed it as powerful. There's no numbers attached to that. What is powerful to you? Well, whatever is powerful to you, it's more than that, because it's powerful when compared to that. And that's important. This is a guy who's shockingly strong. He throws punches and often sends his opponents flying through the air when he lands these punches on him. And that includes character Knuckles the Echidna, known as being ridiculously strong, obviously fast, very durable as well. And he can punch Knuckles and send him flying through the air. And he also loves his extreme sports as well. Did I love the fact that there's a Sonic the Hedgehog snowboarding bit? Yes, I did. Do I love the fact that when I started to break it down, he's riding his snowboard down the hill, smashing through sheets of pure ice as he's going down the hill? That's not using his own super speed. That's using just his strength alone. And if you're snowboarding typically and there's a huge ice sheet in front of you, you tend to get flattened and need to get airlifted out of there by helicopter. Don't tell me, force me to tell you how I know that. But he doesn't. He just knocks his way through it on his snowboard. But let's talk about some of his attacks, because his big attack is the rolling attack, right? We all know that he likes to go into a ball and then propel himself forward, destroying or injuring everything in his path. In fact, he's invulnerable during certain segments of that attack as well, as if he was fighting Dark Souls and doing a roll or something. He also smashes blocks, huge pieces of wood, huge pieces of metal, creatures, robots, other characters, whatever gets into his way. He's like Dolph Lundgren in Rocky IV. Whatever he punches, he destroys. That's shockingly Sonic the Hedgehog. But the rolling attack has gotten even better in more recent iterations. Now he uses it as a homing attack. In other words, he basically, like, plants the character, and no matter how much you move around, he jumps in the air and then propels that ball towards you, just absolutely destroying you. I would also point out, he destroyed asteroids. Asteroids that were going to do damage. He turned it and used the homing attack and went pinball, 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 and he did what Bruce Willis tried to do successfully in the movie Armageddon. Took it out before it could do any damage. He also flew through space and destroyed a fleet like he was Captain Marvel in the billion-dollar box office movie Captain Marvel, where she just bings around all in between all the different ships, causing them to just explode and rupturing them all. He's done that. He also has an ability called Sonic Heal. He can go really fast and heal himself. Now, I know I'm using the video game version of the character, but in the comic books, this was really shown by the fact that there was something called the Metal Virus. And the Metal Virus is something that turns you into basically a robot zombie that made you attack everyone around you, okay? Well, Sonic just kept running, and the virus couldn't get into his system. He avoided zombification through running fast. Outrageous. And we'll whip to the end here. Strong. He could push blocks larger than himself with just his hands. He fell from inner space down to a beach head first in the sand. That would kill you. And he just popped out and was completely fine afterwards. Again, if you fall from space to Earth and you survive and you walk away and you're safe, I'm going to mention it on the show. He also had no problem with planetary re-entry when he went back into the Earth's atmosphere. The thing about Sonic is he's basically a Saiyan from Dragon Ball Z because he keeps growing in power. Growing in power. He gets these Chaos Emeralds and literally his hair turns yellow. He literally becomes a Super Saiyan with the amount of power that he puts up. And the cool thing about it is he gets so strong that eventually he doesn't need to be in that Super Saiyan mode, but he has that same level of strength that he needed that mode, he needed that mode to get to. Now he doesn't even need it to get to that mode anymore to be that strong. At the end of the day, this is Goku, but faster. And that's my point number one.
All right, listen, I get what you're saying. Sonic's magnificent in every way, shape, and form. I'm not going to deny it. I really like the fact that with Sonic, no one actually quantifies everything. It's all like more of a quality. It's powerful. It's insane. It's uncomparable or whatever. I can't disagree with that. But the thing is, that's also very similar to how you could describe Mario when he starts using power-ups and weapons. I liked how you brought in Dolph Lundgren's character of Drago. Ray, can you repeat what Drago's coach said? When he talks about Dolph Lundgren real quick?
No.
Okay, got it. Moving on. I will say this. I think you should lose some points in the eyes of the judge for bringing up Armageddon. I don't feel that was an appropriate thing to do, although I would give you some points for bringing up Captain Marvel, especially when she like blasts through ships. It's just awesome cinema. That's all I can say. And you know what? Comparing Sonic to a Saiyan in terms of power levels, I agree. I actually agree with with almost everything you said, except for bringing up Armageddon. But let me get to my point number one and to clarify a few things, because for my point number one, I just want to break down Mario's impressive arsenal of powers, his abilities, his weaponry. Look, I mentioned a lot of this in the previous Mario versus Sonic battle, but it's worth mentioning again. He's a jack of all trades when it comes to abilities. Name a power or type of weapon, and there's a good chance Mario's got it or knows how to get it. For example, he's wielded the Ultra Hammer, which is capable of smashing through virtually anything from brick walls to massive boulders, etc. Fun fact, Mario is also a skilled pyrotechnic. I guess that means he can shoot and control fire thanks to that trusty fire flower he's got access to. And with the help of various mushrooms, which most people should never touch, but Mario somehow consumes, he can fly, float through walls like a ghost, or transform into a boulder to break barriers. He increases his durability. He can walk on lava without taking any damage. He can become a giant and multiply his strength and power several times over. In terms of weapons and other power-ups, in the Super Mario Brothers series, he's equipped with the boomerangs to take down enemies from afar, ice balls that freeze or shatter foes. He's got this cool ability to stick to walls to create multiple copies of himself for a really insane tactical advantage that I don't think Sonic quite has. His costumes, he's got a ton of them. They bring unique powers. That Tanuki suit lets him fly. It gives him like that stone-like indestructibility. He's got that cap, the vanishing cap, I guess is what it's called, which, believe it or not, makes him vanish, makes him invisible. He can sneak up on people with that. He's got a fantastic frog suit. Who doesn't want one of those? It gives him that swimming speed, which is listed as unparalleled, which I guess goes along with Sonic being like ridiculously fast. His stopwatch can freeze time. That really gives him the upper hand in a lot of situations. And when he becomes a bolt of lightning, he gains super speed on par with the Flash. I think that'll come in handy against a super speedster like Sonic. Got that ice whistle that sends opponents across planets or possibly even dimensions. He's going to eliminate a lot of threats without without even giving them a fight, because he can do that with that whistle and to get what's called battlefield removal victories. That's awesome. With the Rainbow Star, he becomes completely invincible, but even without any power-ups, just at his base level, just like Sonic's got a really cool base level thing, Mario's no pushover. His base form is surprisingly powerful. He can survive massive explosions that are over 2.4 megatons in force. He's capable of hurling large objects into freaking space. He can throw a baseball at over 1,000 miles per hour, which is not as impressive, as throwing hurling large objects into space, but I still like it. And in recent years, Mario's continued to push all of his limits. A game called Super Mario Odyssey, he gained the power to possess enemies and objects using his hat, which is named, again, Cappy. Wonder if Sonic is impervious to mind control. Yeah, that would be a no, by the way. This is why Mario stands out, is because it's so freaking clear that Mario's got the skills, the abilities, the weapons, the powers that make him always ready for whatever comes his way. Look, Sonic's insanely powerful. So is Mario. It's just that Mario has a little bit more versatility in his skill set, his power-ups, and his weapons. All of that is my point number one.
I mean, fair enough. Listen, you're talking about a lot of, I wouldn't say one-offs because Mario's been in so many games. But for example, the stopwatch is an ultra rare item typically found in the Paper Mario series of games. But it's not exactly something he's walking around with all the time. If we're talking about a random encounter in a neutral location, how many power-ups are they just going to be left? I know our previous judge, and this is how it happened last time, just decided that Mario's power-ups would just be everywhere. You can't swing a cat by the tail without finding 7 or 8 mushroom invincible power-ups that Mario had. And I don't think that's the right way to look at this battle. And that's one of the reasons it was so controversial. Look, he doesn't have all this stuff all the time. And Mario needs a bunch of these gimmicks, but Sonic doesn't. Sonic is the weapon. He doesn't need to use the weapons pretty much most of the time. And you talked about a lot of the stuff that Mario could do. And you're right. He has walked on lava. He's also fallen in lava and died before. If Mario falls in a slightly mildly deep hole, he dies. Let's not forget that. And he usually gets most of his victories. How? By jumping on someone's head. That is the Mario move. How are you going to jump on someone's head who's running around at light speed? How are you going to possibly line that up with normal, even superpowered agility? I just don't see Mario pulling this off.
All interesting stuff, but let's see what our judge has to say. Matthew Watterson, you've heard one point from both Ray and myself. Where's your head at so far with this battle?
So far, it's a really even fight, but the two things that jump out, one from each, and I'll give them both to you, and then I'll tell you where I fall at the end. At the moment, the things that jump out for me for Mario are the swimming and the stopping time, and for Sonic, it is what was just covered of Mario has to jump on his head, and that's kind of tough when somebody is rolling around in a ball. At the moment, to me, it kind of seems like stopping time negates the jumping on the head, but I'm still open to it. That's a very soft lean at the moment.
It could go either way. These characters have, and by the way, I love Sonic, love Mario, but this is going to be a hard battle for you to judge. I feel Ray's going to bring it, so am I. There's just so many things these characters can do and have done, but this is why we do this show. All right, look, this show is heating up, but stay tuned for point number two.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/try.
And we're back. Ray, do what you do. Hit us with your point number two.
Point number two for Sonic. I'm going to talk about the speed here because obviously this is Sonic's bread and butter. This is how Sonic wins his fights. This is where Sonic is his strongest. He's real, real fast, y'all. Let's just start there. He can run up and down flat spaces like buildings, sides of buildings, up, down, left, right. Gravity doesn't really apply to Sonic when he really gets going. In fact, he's just run across the ocean before. Just because he wanted to. Really, if you have any kind of a surface at all, Sonic has the ability to run on it. But it's not just that he's fast. We've established this in previous speedster battles before. Sonic's brain, because he's so fast, has to work at a much faster level than a non-speedster character. Otherwise, he would just run into a wall constantly because his brain can't process the information with him moving at light speeds, right? But he's got a very, very fast brain. He can think about things and react to them a lot faster than a Mario character can. That's how he's able to run at, like, you know, hypersonic light speed up to a wall or an enemy and then immediately turn on a dime like the movie Tron and just all of a sudden be going in a different direction. He dodges characters in tight spaces with a light speed dash as well. So he has a light speed move that basically allows him to sidestep. And if you can dodge things at the literal speed of light, I don't know where Mario's going to come down with all of this. I can appreciate the stopping time thing, but Mario's been in, what, 9 billion games? And that stopwatch has only appeared in, like, 3 Paper Mario games. So I don't think leaning on it as an avenue to victory really makes a lot of sense when you consider the whole thing of each character. But he can also do tricks with his speed. He can spin so fast that he creates a wind attack. He doesn't even have to hit you. He just creates a wind attack that's been known to make a tsunami, which can, you know, Mario doesn't necessarily love the water. He could absolutely drown him under it and put him in one of those not fun Mario water levels where the fish get him. Don't forget about that. He can also spin himself so fast the other way, apparently, and turn himself into a living vortex, which, like a gravity pull, it pulls the enemies in close to him and allows him to hit them at very, very close ranges. In fact, he's also been able to create confusing after images of himself because he's moving so fast that there's like visions of Sonic all around him. And you don't necessarily know if you're looking at the proper one or not because your brain hasn't caught up yet because of that galaxy brain I was talking about. Now, Sonic for 30 seconds was able to escape the pull of a black hole. A black hole. And the only reason why he was not able to outrun it is because not only was the black hole pulling him in with that gravitational force, it was getting larger while he was doing it. So he was able to outpace the black hole, but the size of it eventually pulled him in. That's not his fault. He did the speed enough to get out. Not that Mario's bringing anything close to that. And at this point in his canon, Sonic has no problem reaching light speed. He laughs about it now. He literally referred to going to the speed of light as no challenge whatsoever. He's been clocked in at well over 7 times the speed of light in a combat. And what does it mean when you can move that fast, James Gavsey? It means that there's a certain move you can do by accelerating so fast that you hit somebody an infinite number of times. I don't know if you're familiar with this move, James. It's called the Infinite Mass Punch. And it's the hardest thing you could ever be hit with in all of superhero fiction, because he's accelerating to light speed within an inch of your face and going through your entire body. That mustache is going to be on the moon at the end of that particular move. And the last thing you talked about, he's so fast, Sonic is, that one time he just ran through alternate dimensions till he found the one he was looking for. Think about how ridiculous. Like, I understand that the Flash could, like, turn back time with his speed. Pretty big deal. But he can just, like, open pocket dimensions, roll through them until he's like, oh, this is one where the stoplights are flipped upside down, so red means go. That's where I want to live now. I've never conceived of Mario doing something interdimensional like that before. What's to stop Sonic from doing one of those and leaving Mario in an alternate dimension and going about his merry way? Think about it. That's my point number 2.
Wow. Okay. So much to unpack there. First of all, running up and down buildings, kind of defying gravity, kind of like Flash-like feats. I get it. That's cool. I'm not going to push back on that. Sonic can do that. I do like the fact that Sonic can think faster because he's moving faster and he processes things faster. I wouldn't say he processes information faster. I'll touch on this a little bit in my next couple of points. Sonic's more of an instinctive type of brawler type fighter. It's not so much what I've seen a strategy type of character as opposed to I'm good in the moment, but it's iffy sometimes what he's doing because he's not really creating a strategy as much as he's reacting to something at super speed. Still really cool. Race to Canis, I gotta tell you, you completely botched what the Infinite Mass Punch is. It's not being hit a billion times at super speed. No, you get hit once. You did get it at the end. I know science has been something that's hard for you, as is math. But, you know, what happens is someone hits you, they accelerate from zero to an infinite speed, and their mass somehow through physics gets to infinity as well. So that's where the Infinite Mass Punch comes. The Flash can hit harder than the Hulk, for example, based on math. And Sonic can do, could Sonic do something like that? Sure. Fun fact, Mario actually has done something like that. So
did I just get James to use his rebuttal to make my point for me better? I think I did.
Well, here's the thing. That's like me saying, like, the intoxicating mind fog is based off of Race to Canis' digestive tract. You know where I'm going with this? My whole point is you got to be thorough with the fans, the Legion of Audience, because they'll call us out on all this. Now, let me get to my point number 2. For my point number 2, let's break down the main differences between these two characters. Look, on top of the obvious, I get it. Mario and Sonic are very different when it comes to where they started as video game icons. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. Sonic comes to the table as a funny, whimsical, kind of smart mouth character who rose to the occasion to be heroic, which is great because it just shows how noble and cool this character is. Mario is a drastically different type of character. I love bringing this up. Mario had 24 years of a pretty tough upbringing in one of the harshest, most dangerous, most perilous environments in the universe. That's right, I'm talking about Brooklyn. My wife is from there, and she's got that equal toughness. I'm just putting it out there. I'm sure the video game version of Brooklyn is even more dangerous than the real-world version. And on top of that, Mario is also a plumber, which means he's more rugged and can endure things that mere mortals just can't do. You think Sonic is putting his hand down a toilet that's clogged? I don't think so. Just also putting that out there. Look, on top of that, Mario, he's Italian. I know people are like, what's that have to do with anything? You ever watch Rocky? You ever see Goodfellas? You ever see The Sopranos? Italians just have a way to be very nasty when it comes to fighting someone. This is just something they're great at doing. I could go on about this with personal experience. I love Italians. Grew up with a bunch of people who are Italian. I'm just saying, don't call this out as a huge factor in favor of Mario. Now, in terms of that toughness, you know, the toughness of physical toughness, the mind, the durability, all this kind of stuff is really important because these are the things that have enabled Mario to survive some of those powerful attacks and villains in all of video game history. For example, Mario has defeated Bowser on a number of occasions. Keep in mind that Bowser was able to easily survive being in the sun. Bowser tanked massive planetary-sized explosions, tanked galaxy-sized destruction events, and Mario beat him. That is insane. On top of that, Mario has also defeated Count Bleck. This is a villain who possessed a book called The Dark Prognosticus, I believe is what it was called. Try saying that 5 times fast. Count Bleck was so powerful that he was going to wipe out all of reality and destroy every dimension in existence. Mario took on that person and won. But in terms of survivability, there's one thing that Sonic did do that Mario hasn't done. So I guess it's a plus for Sonic in a not so good way. Again, I got into a lot of trouble for bringing this up before. I'm going to do it again. Sonic, unlike Mario, has actually been murdered, completely murdered in one of his games. So here are the details. Sonic was killed by a character named Dark Sonic. I could feel the hatred coming from Ray right now. All this happened back in 2006. And we're not talking killed, by the way. We had to start the game over. You just regenerate, came back to life. Oh, no. He was actually killed in this video game, as in got murdered by, and the game like ended with his murder. Ask yourself this. How many times has Mario actually been murdered in a video game where he's done at the end of the game? Yeah, he hasn't. The bottom line is this. When it comes to survivability and durability and defeating insanely powerful opponents, Mario is just on a completely different level than Sonic, who, again, wasn't permanently killed in their own video game. All of that is my point number two.
I love that in your idea that in cutesy Nintendo games, we're going to have one end with just Mario with X's over his eyes and blood dripping out of his mouth. Look, yes, Sonic has died in his games before. It is true, but that just references and shows you the threat level in Sonic games that is not present in Mario games. The fate of the universe is at stake. There are literally reality warping characters who destroy entire universes for fun in Sonic games. In Mario games, oh no, I didn't make the Sunshine Blaster get the star. And that's just not the same stakes we're talking about. Mario isn't used to playing on that level. And let me tell you something. Sonic does not need to reach into the toilet. Because Sonic doesn't clog toilets. Sonic eats chili dogs. So there ain't no clogging of anything happening here, if you know what I'm saying.
I love how it went from, like, you know, he survived galactic explosive. You know, the murder rate is, you know, the threat level is so high. And he's never had to put his hand down because it's chili dogs, whatever it is. Okay, listen, this is exactly why the Who Would Win show is so magnificent. And on a side note, we're also at the turning point. Matthew, you've had a moment to ponder 2 points from both Ray and myself. Who do you think is ahead? And what does the other side have to do to pull out the victory?
I think at the moment, I've got to lean more towards Sonic as being ahead. It is definitely not a done deal, but at the moment I think Sonic has a little bit of an advantage. And here's the thing, I have to take exactly what you guys say because I am familiar with these characters, but I only ever played Mario. I never had Sega, so I have to take what you guys are saying. I can't use like personal knowledge or personal experience of them. So at the moment, I don't know if I'm completely on board with how much faster Sonic's mind works than Mario's, because I remember the fastest kid in school was pretty dumb. So I don't, it doesn't track with me, my personal anecdotal experience. He's going to find me and chase me down and hit me now. But, you know, Sonic's at the moment, it's really close, but Sonic Speed is kind of taking it. And I don't know if Mario's sort of tactical planning abilities are enough to overcome that. I don't think Sonic is a phenomenal tactician himself. I think he's, you know, more like a living circular saw on steroids or in cocaine. But I don't know if I'm not sure if Mario has the tactical frame of mind to overcome that. If he does, he may take it.
Interesting stuff. By the way, I think the term you're looking for was cocaine steroids, which is a new
cocaine
thing
steroids,
taking over.
Yes.
Yeah. You could find that at the front desk at LA Fitness. Yeah. I agree with what you're saying. I can see it. This is just an insanely close battle, no matter how you look at it. So let's see what's going to happen. Stay tuned for point number three. And we're back. Ray, it's now or never. Do what you do and hit us with your point number three.
Point number three. First of all, I want to say you said the fastest person you knew in school was also not very smart. A lot of people don't know this. Usain Bolt, the fastest man on the earth, is also an astrophysicist. I don't know if that's true, but if it was, that would be a phenomenal help to my cause right now. Look, what I want to talk about here is durability first and foremost, because Mario, as we know, Mario basically dies in two hits, right? He gets one hit, he gets small, he gets a second hit, he's out of the game, right? Sonic, when he gets hit, he just drops rings everywhere, and as long as he keeps picking up the rings, he can keep getting knocked over and over and over again, and he will be fine. So there's a limitation to how much Mario really can get done, but because he's got to find those mushrooms in the world. That's the thing, and I love what Matthew said about that as far as tactical planning goes. Sonic does have to plan out how he's going to do things, how he's going to tackle these gigantic robots he fights, where the weak spots are, and he's got to figure all that out. Mario sort of just like, well, what objects is this stage giving me? I guess that's what I'm going to do. And there's a certain like a randomness to it that I think works in Sonic's favor when it comes to actually planning out a system of attack. Obviously, Sonic in his video games has beaten Knuckles the Echidna before, and I think Knuckles actually matches up really good with Mario as well. But Knuckles is the big, strong brawler. Idris Elba voiced him in the movie, so you know he's a BA, okay? When Sonic fought Metal Sonic, which is Sonic but a robot, Metal Sonic had to retreat at the end of the day. And he constantly, Sonic does, defeats gigantic, huge mecha that Eggman has built, right? These are giant, like, Metal Gear-sized robots. He's fighting Voltron, basically, constantly. And he's always getting the win. In fact, he fought a character called Ultimate Emerald, who was being powered by 7 Chaos Emeralds, which think of those as, it's not exactly a one-to-one, but sort of the Infinity Stones of the Sonic the Hedgehog universe. They're sources of cosmic power. Well, Ultimate Emerald, while having 7 of those, copied all of Sonic and all his friends' power sets. Sonic had to face off against this Ultimate Emerald character and beat him in 30 seconds. That's all it took. Sonic knows how all these moves go. He knows how to defeat people. He knows how to get the win against way bigger than that, and he did it. Sonic faced off against a big bad named Erasor Jin, who is a genie who was wiping out universes. It's like a 1001, like what was it, the Arabian Tales or whatever. He was basically erasing them and erasing entire universes, and Sonic had to go over and beat him. A reality warper. Sonic beat him too. He beat a character named Perfect Chaos, who is he is so powerful, he busts planets. The planet he's on tends to be destroyed. And Sonic was able to defeat the Perfect Chaos as well. I'm just saying these are intergalactic, highest level threats to the universe. Sonic gets them. I'm not trying to take away anything from Bowser, but at the end of the day, he's not bringing that type of cosmic ennui to the table. He's just not the same level of opponent as what Sonic has to defeat to keep going. In fact, Sonic was able to move so fast, he restored space and time by just accelerating. I don't know how that works, but can he time travel through use of his speed? The answer is yes. So gosh willing, if anything did go wrong, which I don't think it will, I think he's going to hit Mario too fast to the point where Mario's not going to be able to react to it, quite honestly. And Mario's going to get taken down for the count pretty quickly. But even if something went wrong, Sonic can zip zip at the speed of light with the reflexes of the speed of light and then time travel back to the beginning of the fight and do it again, but different. Like he was in that Tom Cruise movie, right? You know the one I mean. Collateral. So the point through all of this is that Sonic is too strong, too fast, too durable, and Mario's got to rely on a lot of gimmicks that he might not have access to in the time it would take Sonic to beat him. That's compelling, and that's my point number three.
All right, listen, I like how you're leaning on, you know, the core competency of Sonic. It's not a bad way to go. You know, when you say, well, this type of opponent, that type of opponent, I kind of look at equivalents as well. He got murdered by Dark Sonic. That's just a fact. He got absolutely murdered. And it was kind of cool that he did get murdered, by the way, because that, how often does that happen? Of course, you know, he came back the next game. However, you know, when Mario has to take on Wario, he seems to have beaten him quite a few times. So it's interesting how when they take on their evil doppelgangers, whatever you call it, Mario seems to do pretty well. Sonic gets murdered. Look, reality warping characters. I already said how Count Black, you know, was someone who's going to do that. And Mario beat that character, destroying universes, galaxies, planets, whatever crazy powerful things that can do evil beings. You know, Bowser's that and a whole lot more. Mario's taken Bowser out as well. So, you know, I got to take a little bit of a different tact with my point number three. This may upset some people, but I got to do what I got to do in the spirit of who would win. For my point number three, let's just go for it. And again, I did this last time, and I think I got to do it again. Let's just throw everything into this battle. I mean, let's compare absolutely everything Sonic can do, all the power-ups, everything there, and all the things that Mario can do in terms of power-ups, powers, abilities, and see who comes out ahead. Because look, we could say there's access to this, or that's a one-off, or whatever it is, and make those same kind of arguments and exclusions for both characters. So instead, let's go the different way. I did this last time too, and I think it's what we got to do again. Put everything on the table for both characters and let's see what we've got. So let's say Sonic got every power up and weapon in all of the games and put them up against the same thing for Mario in so many cool ways. Like, you know, our judge, Matthew Watson, already said like a lot of stuff cancels out, you know, in terms of powers, abilities, even some weapons. You know, other than Mario having that ability to stop time, I think everything else really does kind of cancel out except for a couple of different things. They both have the ability to increase their physical power. They both have the ability to increase their personal offensive capability drastically. We get it. But when it comes to weaponry, such as incredible, powerful hammers or boomerangs, wherever you want to go, it's Mario that truly has access to a lot more. When it comes to gaining powers, I mean, whatever power you can think of, Mario also has a lot more in that area, a lot more diversified and versatile type of powers. To that point, you know, just like last time, I did some more research. It looks like Mario has well over 100 different power-ups. Plus, Sonic has some key weaknesses that have really come into play, you know, since our last episode of when we did this on the Who Would Win show. I think it was about 2020. So in that 4-year time span, a lot has happened with Sonic. He's got some key weaknesses. So first of all, he is highly emotional. I think the game is called Sonic Frontiers, released in 2022. We see that Sonic's emotional state really directly affects his performance, his decision-making, his fighting ability. And during these moments, you know, self-doubt, you know, kind of come in, and then he becomes really reckless and unfocused. And as a result, his usual confidence and speed get weakened drastically. It's like from X-Men 97, Gladiator, you know, that character is like a Superman level character. But once their confidence is shaken, their power and their ability to kind of do what they do drops tremendously. Sonic, since 2022 in that new game, has that same type of weakness. His durability is also greatly reduced, as we saw, I believe it was seen in Sonic Colors. That was Sonic Colors Ultimate. That was released in 2021. So it's a remastered game. It shows that Sonic's abilities are really drastically weakened by extreme temperatures, which plays directly into Mario's ability to use that. His power-ups control high temperatures and anything fire-related, as I mentioned, my point number one. Intense heat and fire drastically slow down, damage Sonic over time, and impair his vision, amongst many other things. That's crazy. Sonic also has limited endurance for speed bursts at this point. This was established in a game called Sonic Forces Speed Battle. In this game, it's shown that its ability to sustain maximum speed for extended periods of time, it's not unlimited. No, it's actually highly limited. So if he overuses these speed boosts, this also leads to temporary fatigue. It reduces his speed overall, his responsiveness until he recovers. That also takes a great deal of time for him to get back to that base level. Plus, there's one more thing. Sonic, look, he's bold, he's reckless, and sometimes this backfires big time. Whereas Mario is kind of more of a problem solver, he's much more strategic when it comes to fighting. So again, when you give Sonic everything they've got, Mario everything they've got, especially all now the new weaknesses and limitations that Sonic has, that makes him a slightly more interesting character, but not as powerful as overall as he was before 2021, it seems like. It's kind of a new Sonic that we have at this particular juncture, and it's a weaker Sonic, more interesting, but weaker nonetheless. Put them up against everything Mario can do, Mario comes out on top. That's my point number three.
You wish Sonic was weaker now than he was before. He's basically a shonen character like Goku, who just keeps getting stronger and stronger and stronger as he keeps going. And you say that he's emotional. Give me the emotional guy. It means he cares more about it. He's the one fighting for his friends to have them not be killed and or erased from time and space. Mario's jumping around having a great time, don't get me wrong, but when the fate of the universe is on the line, I want the guy who can focus up a little bit more than the guy jumping around throwing candy in the air, you know what I'm saying? And you talk about adding these powers. Okay, I guess I don't agree with that. That's not necessarily what a neutral location has, considering that Mario, as you said, has over 100 different power-ups all spread throughout the galaxy of games that he's been in. It's not like he's sitting here with all of them. But in a couple of the Sonic Rivals games, Sonic has a paralyzing lightning bolt, which can stun people and make them immobile, vision distortion abilities, a ring magnet, which sucks rings over to him, making him more powerful. I don't know where you get off with this fire and ice thing, because two of his forms are fire and ice, which he controls and manipulates. But he also has a glue trap, which can stick you to the ground for a period of time, and an oil slick, making things hard to slide around. You ever play an ice level in a Mario game? The number of times I've not meant to, but slid right off of a platform to my death. If you got an oil slick on there, that's all that's going to happen to Mario as well. Like, at the end of the day, I love Mario. I don't think he's going to have unlimited access to every power-up, because that's not true to the character, which is what we're trying to do. But Sonic's speed is true to the character. And quite honestly, if he has the target in front of him, how long do people last against Sonic in those games? A millisecond? Because he moves that fast, thinks that fast, has to come up with a battle plan that fast, and he will tear his way through Mario while he's looking for a mushroom that he's not going to find, because he's just going to get beaten too quickly once the bell rings.
Wow. Okay, Matthew, I do not envy your position as judge right now, because look, you've heard 3 points from both Ray and myself, and yeah, it's about that time for you to make a decision. But before we get to what Matthew has to say, let's celebrate the Who Would Win Patron of the Week. Every week, we choose one of our amazing members from the Who Would Win Show's Patreon community and put them in a battle. Ray, which patron do we have today?
This week on Patron of the Week, patreon.com/Who Would Win Show for the kids at home. As if you didn't hear that ad that James has had for like 9 years now on the show every episode. We got Ray's Superfan. I don't know who named himself Ray's Superfan, but it was good enough to get my attention. You're on the show this week.
Ray Superfan, clearly, this is one of the biggest highlights of your life. You're welcome, by the way. Well, let's have Ray Superfan go up against, you know, since we're doing video game characters, let's have Ray Superfan go up against Minecraft Steve.
Minecraft Steve is going to be rough, okay? Because Minecraft Steve is obviously one of the most ridiculously strong characters in all of fiction. We broke that down in a previous battle that somehow I still lost. I don't know exactly how that happened, but it did. But Minecraft Steve can obviously warp dimensions, time and space. He can carry things inside of things, inside of things, inside of things, and can carry roughly the weight of the universe times 7, I think is what we figured out at the end of the day. That's very, very strong and a little perplexing because he also exists in this universe. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is Minecraft Steve is going to be going around. He's very, very durable. He's going to be hitting with the sword. He's going to be creating portals to the nether, and he's going to be fighting the Ender Dragon and all this other stuff. But the thing is, Ray's biggest fan is just going to wait for the moment. Because if you know anything about what's been happening, all of a sudden, Minecraft Steve turns around and reveals himself to be Jack Black. And at that moment, when Jack Black bursts into song, Ray's biggest fan is going to shove a giant cork right in his mouth, and it's going to put him down for the count. I love me some Jack Black, don't get me wrong, but I'm not ready for singing in my Minecraft movie, and neither was Ray's biggest fan. You get the win. You waited for your moment to strike, and that's important in a battle like this. Great job, Ray's biggest fan. Go check out our Patreon at patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, and you might someday be the patron of the week.
Wow, still in my thunder. I like that. By the way, that is an interesting way. I had no idea that was how you would defeat Jack Black. I had no idea. Like, if I had to fight him, I'm like, I've got nothing. I got nothing.
It's
but
a lot.
Evidently,
yeah.
Corked them out. Who knew? All right. As Ray said, you too can become a celebrated patron of the week. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, but I said it nicer, and sign up, and you may be featured in an upcoming episode of Who Would Win. Matthew, it's time for your decision. Take us through your process. Tell us a story, if you will, and reveal who you think wins this battle between Sonic and Mario.
Okay, I'm going to start actually with a question, which I realized I should have asked at the very beginning, but...
That is Ray's real face.
Can't hide it anymore.
I have a second question. Where does the fight take place, and do they know ahead of time that they are fighting each other, or is it just a, you know, sci-fi movie snatched from their living room and dropped into a gladiatorial combat situation?
Much like 1984 Secret Wars, the comic book crossover event for Marvel that started it all, I should say, this is a neutral location, neither favors nor hinders either one of them. They have no prior knowledge of the other person or the character,
okay.
And no time to prepare for this whatsoever.
Okay. All right. I should have asked that at the beginning, but, you know. Well, I have been taking copious notes here as points have been made one way or the other, and I've gone back and forth, as you've heard. I've been, you know, some on one way, some on the other way, and I've heard very solid arguments both ways. There is something about Mario's ability to find stuff anywhere he goes, and I think that, to me, the description of, you know, these... 100 power-ups and all the different things that he can do spread across his universe. And Ray, you keep pointing out, you know, yeah, but these things are spread all over the place. That to me, that kind of speaks to, yeah, but he's like the ultimate MacGyver. He can find stuff anywhere to utilize to turn into some sort of super-powered weapon. Sonic, on the other hand, it seems like his skill set is based entirely on a sort of Zen internal Buddhism of like discovering new facets within himself and within his particular skill set based on his just being able to vibrate his molecules really quickly. And that's kind of a fascinating back and forth between the two of them. In terms of how I see it playing out, you know, we talked a little bit about the ability to freeze time, which would seem to hinder Sonic pretty drastically. Then again, we've talked about how, you know, Mario doesn't really have a lot of ways to end people. It's really just sort of jumping him on the head and causing a brain hemorrhage. And that's tough to do when something is spinning around in circles and rolling all over the place, you know. And look, in all honesty, that I do have a little bit of a soft spot for that particular method of attack, because one character that I voiced, Droll, he fought like that. He would turn into a little spinning thing, very Sonic-esque, and roll all around, you know, the battlefield. So I have some experience with that, and I know how effective that is. I think when it comes down to it, I have to end up falling down on it. The funny thing is, it's very close, but it's really clear to me, I think, in the end, which side I have to come down on. And I gotta be honest, I was kind of surprised where I ended up on this, because like I said, I was familiar with both characters, but if I'd been asked ahead of time, I don't think I would have come up to this conclusion. I don't think that it would be an easy fight. I look at it as kind of like the fight between Thor and Hulk in on Jeff Goldblum's planet, where you know, you're like, well, Thor kind of had it, but then, you know, in the end, Hulk gets it, was it a fair fight? Maybe not. We'll see. But I feel like Sonic has, I feel like because Mario has to MacGyver things, he not only has to source his materials, he then has to apply them, and that just takes up a little bit more time than he's going to have with somebody who moves at Sonic speed. That's why at the end of the day, I have to pick Sonic.
Wow.
There you have it.
You know
as
what?
James would say.
I got to tell you something. Not only do I have no issue with this decision, because it was wonderfully told, the story was outlined perfectly, but there's one key thing. There was one key aspect to me getting the win, and this is why I got the win last time, I believe, and this is why I really had to reemphasize it, and that was Mario has to have stuff. You said it. He has to have his weapons. He has to have his items for the power-up. Like, you know, there's no internal power. It's like all external. You're not wrong whatsoever. If in your mind, because the judge has the final say, hey, he does not have access to all of this, even if Sonic had access. If we went, Sonic has everything, Mario has everything, I still 100% bet on Mario, 100%. But if you're saying, you know, if Mario has to have all that stuff, but Sonic just has to kind of look within himself to kind of power up, which is really great. Love the character for that. But again, if Mario does not have all of that stuff, even if Sonic did have all their whatever power-ups, without that, just the way you outlined it, I can't disagree with that decision. I got to say, Ray, You got your redemption for the character. Well played. This was awesome. I still feel absolutely fantastic because I didn't really lose. I just lost to an exception that was beautifully laid out. Ray, tell Legion of Audience how you feel right now.
It's a great week for blue heroes the nation over. Whether they be, as I mentioned before, your Detroit Lions starting 1-0 on the NFL season, defeating the Los Angeles Rams, a game team in overtime this week. And now Sonic the Hedgehog gets his redemption against Mario, one of the most controversial battles of all time. What a way to, I can't say bring in Showdown September, but what a way to do week two of Showdown September. Are there any other matchups out there you people at home think that I unfairly lost in Showdown September before? I want to hear it in the comments. I don't read them, but I still want you to post them anyway, and someone else will tell me what happened because I filter the comments because I don't want to talk to you. The point I'm trying to make in all of this is I am great.
Yeah, I didn't listen to any of that. So here's the thing, Matthew. You know, I like how you came into this saying like, hey, you kind of favor Mario, but you'll be very open. You did a great job. Again, this was such a hard matchup for a judge, and you really did a great job with it, despite, you know, taking a decision I'm not crazy about. But again, I can't disagree with your logic. You are absolutely fantastic. Well done. Please come back to the Who Would Win show, especially when we have bigger and better battles. You're that person for that. In the meantime, tell Legion of Audience or fan base where they can find you.
The moment, if you want to find me directly, the best place is probably Instagram because I'm terrible at social media, but I do check that one from time to time at MJ Waterson. And I've got most stuff on there in terms of, we don't get told much new stuff about X-Men. Marvel's really good about keeping it quiet, but anything that we do get to talk about, we have it on there. And so at the moment there's, you know, there's X-Men. I'm on Monster High, if you happen to be into some of the kids programming. And there's games coming out that I can't talk about because video game NDAs are...
Don't fight them.
Don't fight them. They're actually, we joke about them in my house because two of my wife's brothers are in the military and have whatever the most fancy clearance is. And there's times when they're like, we feel like we have more freedom to talk about our work than you do. And I said, I think you do. And yours matters more. They're like, yeah, that's weird. And I said, yes, it does. It is weird, but that's kind of the way it falls. But yeah, there is stuff coming out. And the best way to find it is probably on Instagram when I remember to post stuff. But I'm okay at it. I'm getting better.
You know what? I mean, I'm just going to make a little bit of a plug. Watch the magnificence that is Matthew Waterson and enjoy that voice. Take it all in. It is a Shakespearean performance. By the way, I'm not exaggerating. I'm probably underplaying it. Watch Matthew Waterson and listen to Matthew Waterson as Magneto in X-Men 97. Seriously, such an incredible performance. As Ray can tell you, I'm a comic book nerd beyond nerd. And the fact I got to, you know, witness and see Magneto just in all of his, what you want him to do and what you want him to say and see him, how he acts and just the emotional over. I'm just trying to say I'm a fan is all I'm trying to say. All right, Ray Sicanus, you got the win. Congratulations. You also got the redemption win, which is doubly good. You're on a hot streak. Things are going well for you. Tell Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you.
You're welcome, Sonic fans. We're bringing the trophy home this time. And I know how you felt last time. I felt terrible for you. And I'm very excited to be back in the winner's circle with Sonic again. Matthew, fantastic job as judge. Because you gave me the victory, I do think you should be back again to do the show. And what I love about this is you've done so many great things, you know, and we talked about it at the start. But I know what people really know you from first and foremost. And that's episode 6 of Reclaim Detroit, a Vampire the Masquerade audio drama. VampireDetroit.com playing the Sabbat horrible Bruja anti-tribute named Paris. It's one of the best scenes in literally the history of scripted anything. That's how good it was. That's how good you were. And that's where obviously people should go to find you. Go to VampireDetroit.com or find Reclaim Detroit wherever you do podcasts. This is me plugging your stuff, right?
Yeah. And as always, as I said to you guys, I think possibly before the show, the best gig is where you show up and the job is to get out of the way of the writing.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I don't know who wrote that, but that guy's going places. I'll tell you that right now.
I mean, it seems like it's probably an absolute psychopath, but he writes well.
I mean, phenomenal. You got to be a little nuts to do writing at all. Let's talk about this for 10 more hours. The board is snuck in behind me wearing their cloaks and hoods, and they're very shadowy figures. They're telling me I have to stop. So find me on Instagram and Threads at AlmightyRay316 and other stuff.
Yeah, we'll look forward to some continued great writing, maybe from some different sources on X97. All right, you can find me on X, aka Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by typing in at James Gavsy. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram and Threads and TikTok at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcasts. On behalf of myself, Ray Cicadas, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey gang, I hope you enjoyed this episode and love listening to the show as much as we enjoyed making it. Quick reminder that you can support us by going to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Okay, gotta prepare for next week's episode. Hope the rest of your day is full of wins.
Hi, I'm Kevin Goatee.
Hey, I'm Kevin Israel.
We host Gutting the Sacred Cow, the best and most unique movie debate podcast out there. Why?
Because we invite our guests to pick a film that they find overrated or hate and try to convince us to see their argument.
They must pick a film that is a financial success, widely beloved, or critically acclaimed.
That's right. Some of the films our guests have tried to eviscerate, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Pulp Fiction, Ghostbusters. You can find us on all podcast platforms like Apple, Google, Spotify, and more. And if you want to watch our smiling faces, we're also on YouTube.
GuttingTheSacredCow.com is where you find all of our information. And we look forward to our guests infuriating you when they attack your favorite films.